beginning. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Hi. My daughter's waving at me. And this is the first time she's ever seen me up on a platform in front of people, so this will be interesting. But, yeah, no guarantees. But my name is Joshua Ewing. My wife is Leah Ewing. That's my daughter Madeline back there. We've got two boys in the nursery. Tyler will be 2 next week, and Levi is 4/5 months, somewhere in there. He was born in January, so I lose track after a while. But we're from Gaylord, Michigan, out of the Grace Baptist Church. There, from Dr. John Jenkins is the pastor, and share a little bit of my testimony before we jump in to the message tonight. I am not a long preacher, so I think the longest I've ever preached is 40 minutes. So, but tonight is an exception, so we shouldn't be out of here any later than 9 o'clock. So just sit tight. No, I'm just kidding. But I was born and raised in a pastor's home. My dad has been in full-time ministry as long as I've been alive. I tell everybody I've been in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, 9 months before I was born. I've been in church all my life. And I got saved at the age of 8, October of 1998. I had made a profession of faith when I was 4. Teenagers, I apologize if you get the repeat from this morning, but it's the only testimony I've got. I haven't made up any other ones yet. So, but I made a profession of faith at the age of 4. I couldn't tell you. I think I can remember the setting, but that's about it. I don't know what I said. I don't know what was said to me. And when I was 8 years old, we had a national missionary from Mexico come. His name was Humberto Gomez, and he preached. I don't know what he preached on. I just know the Lord was dealing with my heart about salvation. I knew I wasn't saved. I went to the altar, and I prayed, and I told God, what are people going to think of me? My dad's on staff here at the church. People think I'm saved. What are they going to think if I say I'm not saved? And I put it off. I put it off for about a week, and it was the scariest week of my life. I knew for a fact if I got in a car accident, I was scared to death to get into a car, but I knew for a fact if I got in a car accident or if I passed away, I was going to spend eternity in hell. And that next Wednesday night, I went up to the platform. My dad, after the service. I don't know what Pastor Jenkins preached that night. He could have preached on whatever, and I'd have gone forward and gotten saved, just because I was under so much conviction. And I went up to the right side of the platform, or the left side of the platform, where my dad sat, and I thought, I've got to have a story. I've got to tell my dad something to convince him I'm not saved, which I don't think needed a whole lot of convincing. But I went up there and I said, Dad, I made the profession of faith when I was 4 because everybody else in the family was saved, so I thought I should be too. And I'll never forget, he laughed at me. And I don't know why. I to this day, I still don't. He doesn't remember it. I've asked him about it. But all I can think of is, like, Dad, there's people at the altar getting right with the Lord. They're surrendering their lives, and, like, right in the middle of their prayer where they're giving their heart to God. Bah! Like, what in the world, man? But anyways, he took the Bible, and I didn't need much convincing. I'll tell you that for sure. I was pretty much ready to pray the prayer at the beginning, and he showed me from the Bible how I could get saved, and I put my trust in Jesus that night. And it's been the greatest decision that I've ever made. I'm 28 this year, so this October will be 20 years that I've been saved. It's kind of crazy to think about, but it's been a good journey that the Lord has brought us on. My wife is from Tonawanda, New York. She was born and raised there, born in a hospital, raised at home. She grew up in Pastor Constantino's church from an infant until she graduated high school and went to college, where she met me, and she chased me and chased me and chased me until I said yes, and we finally got together. No, we met in college, dated for 3 years, and then we graduated in May of 2012, graduated the same year, and got married in June of that year. So we'll have been married 6 years this June 22nd. So if I forget, somebody please remind me that that's my anniversary. But otherwise, it may not be another one next year. But no, as I stated, we've got 3 wonderful kids, and the Lord has just blessed us in a great and mighty way. We were on staff for 2.5 years, from 2013 to 2015, the end of 2015, at a church in Illinois. I was the youth pastor there. The Lord began working on my heart at the beginning of 2015 about resigning the position and moving back up to Gaylord for the time being. And I think November of 2015, we resigned our position and moved to Gaylord, where I felt like the Lord had us to go. We've been there for almost 2.5 years now, just serving as a layman in the church, helping out as much as we can. My wife teaches a Sunday school class, and we help with the teenagers and the bus teens as much as possible, and as time would allow us. But that's where we're at this point. And we've been praying about what Pastor Carpenter shared the vision with you. When I first got his phone call, I get a lot of sales calls on my cell phone for some reason, so I didn't recognize the number, so I ignored him. I'm like, sorry, don't know who you are. You can leave a message if it's important. And he did. So I called him back, I think the next day. I don't even remember. But two days? Oh, man, I'm terrible at calling people back. But I called him back, and we contacted each other a couple different times from then on, and here we are. So definitely pray as a church about it. I know I've spent a lot of time praying about it for the Lord's wisdom, his guidance and direction, and appreciate and covet your prayers in that manner as well. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, I hope I'll be a help to you tonight. Just a thought that the Lord laid on my heart. I had about 5-6 different messages that I was scrolling through and praying which one the Lord would have me to preach, and this is the one that he laid on my heart, so I hope it'll be a help to you. But we're going to read verse number 1. Start in verse number 1, we'll read a few verses, and then we'll pray and jump into the message. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." I want to talk to you on this topic tonight. Where is your vision? Where is your vision? Let's pray, and we'll jump into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to preach tonight. Father, I pray you please hide me behind the cross, and that you would use me, help me to say what you would have me to say. Lord, I pray you please stop me from saying what you would not want me to say. And Lord, I pray you please just speak to hearts. And if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Father, I pray you please convict them of their sin and show them their need for you, and that they'd leave here a new Christian, and that they'd get that settled tonight. And we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Vision is a very important thing. I've worn glasses since the age of 5. I found out in kindergarten, or my parents did rather. I didn't care at that point in time. But I found out in kindergarten that I needed glasses. I had a hard time seeing far away. I'm very nearsighted. I've got astigmatism, and I've had glasses my entire life. And vision is something that's very important. You take away your vision, and it's very hard to get around, very hard to do a lot of things. I know some people that can't see, that are blind, and they are somewhat impaired as far as their what they can do on a normal basis. But I'm not talking about, I'm not going to focus on physical vision tonight, and I want to focus on spiritual vision a little bit, if you'll let me. But the definition of vision that we're going to look at tonight is a goal or something that you're striving to go after and achieve. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, we read that Eli had lost his vision. And I believe he lost it physically, but I also believe in this passage of Scripture that he had lost his vision spiritually. And if we look at the passage of Scripture, I think we can learn some spiritual lessons, and we can apply them to our life and help us to keep a vision for the cause of Christ in our lives. Once again, I'm not very long, so we're going to jump in tonight. And first of all, we'll look at verse number 2 with me. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that at that time when Eli lay down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now, the Bible tells us in two different passages of Scripture that the lamp of God was to never go out. You see, the lamp of God signified the presence of God in the temple. The Holy Spirit was signified in the olive oil that was in the lamp, and the fire that burned signified the presence of God there in the temple, and that was something that was to be constantly burning. The Holy Spirit was constantly supposed to be evident, and then the power of God was constantly supposed to be in the temple of God. The Bible says in Exodus 27, verse number 20, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Leviticus 24, verse number 2, the Bible says, "Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually." You see, because Eli had lost his vision, the power of God, the presence of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit left the temple. Now, what a dark day to be in that point in time. The Bible says there was no open vision. The word of God was precious in those days. And it was not a good thing to have the presence of God leave the temple when there was no open vision, when God didn't speak openly to the people of Israel. You see, in the New Testament age, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't go and worship at a temple. We are the temple of God. And there is cause for us to have the power of the God on our lives, there to have the Holy Spirit, a Holy Spirit-filled life. And that's not going to happen if we lose a vision for the cause of Christ. If we lose the goals and the things that we are striving for the cause of Christ, may we not lose our vision and allow the fire of God to go out in our lives. May it continue to burn, and may the fire be evident in our lives. I think of the passage of Scripture in Luke when Jesus had just rose from the grave, and he was on the road to Emmaus with those disciples, and they were talking and telling him about all the stuff that was going on, and about how Jesus, the grave was empty, and how everything was going on in that point in time. And oh, I just about knocked that over. All right, Jesus hid himself from them. The Bible says they didn't know who he was at the time, and they stopped where they were going. They went in, and the Bible says they compelled him to come in and to dine with them, to sup with them, and he revealed himself to them sitting at that table. And the Bible says, and then he was gone. You want to talk about being freaked out. Man, you're sitting there staring at somebody, and all of a sudden he's not there. I don't know if I would be sitting at that table very long either. But I'm just kidding. That was a joke. You're allowed to laugh, okay? Anyways, boy, that went over like a lead balloon. Anyways, but the passage of Scripture says those men were sitting there, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" You see, the closer you are to Christ, the more the fire burns in your heart. The closer you are to God, the more the fire burns, the more the fire is stoked, and the more the power and presence of God can be evident in your life. Their hearts burned within them. Have you lost your vision this morning for the cause of Christ? Has the fire gone out in your life? And I can remember, I gave you my testimony, being 8 years old, and you want to talk about a burden being lifted off my shoulders. I can't describe the feeling to you when I got saved. It was just, it was amazing. And if you've got a salvation testimony, if you've been saved in the past, I'm sure you've got somewhat of the same feeling, but man, it was just like a burden being lifted off my shoulders. Even at 8 years old, I never got out into deep sin. I've never tasted alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never done drugs. I've never done any of that. I've never been deep into the world or anything like that. But you want to talk about a burden being lifted off of an 8-year-old boy's shoulders, and it was an amazing feeling. And all I can remember is after that happened, man, I was just so passionate and so fired up as an 8-year-old boy. Man, I was so passionate to give the gospel, and I was talking to everybody. I've got four siblings. I've got an older brother and three younger siblings, and the sister that's under me, she's 5 years younger than I am. So I was 8 when I got saved, so she would have been 3. And man, I tried to lead her to the Lord so many times. I can remember sitting on my bed going through the gospel with my 3-year-old sister, and my mom came in and stopped me. And I'm like, "Mom, what are you doing? Come on, I'm trying to be a soul winner here." But obviously she didn't know what she was doing. But I can just remember being so passionate about giving the gospel out. And you know, as we get older and as we mature as Christians, and as we grow in the Lord, sometimes that passion and that zeal gets kind of goes away a little bit. And that ought not be the case. You know, I'll be a testimony tonight. I'll tell you, you know what, my zeal probably isn't as strong as it was back then, and I hope that someday I can get back to that point. I'm striving for that. But our zeal and our passion should be evident in our lives, and that comes from having a vision and a passion and a burning desire to do what Christ has for us. Amen. You see, what happens when you lose your vision is the fire goes out. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen in my heart. I've recently, and I know I'm not the soul winner that I should be, but recently I've gone and just tried to have a different mindset. I'm a guy, me and Pastor Carpenter were talking about this yesterday. When I go to the store, I don't go shopping. I go buying. I go and I get what I want, and I leave. There's no browsing the store. There's no, ooh, that's a good deal. Let's get that. No. That's for my wife to do. We'll stop after church, and it's like, yeah, we need milk and juice. She'll come in and come out. She'll go in, and she'll come out with like 6 bags. I'm like, whoa, we needed milk and juice. I know, but they had good deals. Come on, you're killing me. But anyways, I guess I'm sleeping on the floor tonight. But I have absolutely no idea where I was going with that. Gone. Thought gone. But, that's where I was going. But I'll go to the store, and usually it's in and out. But I've tried my hardest. I've tried my hardest when I go into the store to notice people. To notice people. To notice people that may be hurting. To notice people that need the Lord. And to have a passion and a desire to give the gospel to them. Sometimes, you know, you may not have an opportunity to spend 30 minutes to go through a good gospel presentation. Sometimes it's just a track. Sometimes it's just a church invitation. Sometimes it's, hey, I noticed you walking through the store. The Lord burdened my heart to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? You'd be amazed. I've heard of one preacher doing this when he goes out to eat. When the waitress or waiter comes to the table and brings them their food, he always says, hey, we're about to pray for our food. We're Christians. Is there anything that we can pray for you about? And he said, you'd be amazed how many people have stuff going on in their lives that they need prayer for. And it gives you an opportunity to give them a gospel track or whatever the case may be. But hey, we need to have a passion and desire and a fire in our hearts to share the gospel with others. And that doesn't happen unless we have a vision in our spiritual life. The second thing that happens when we lose our vision is God stops speaking. First, look at verse number 11, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli and all things which I have spoken concerning his house, when I begin, and I will make also an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now I've heard this story, and I'm sure you have many times. Especially as a kid, you hear it being taught in Sunday school, that God speaks to young kids, and I believe he does. But you understand the context of this passage of Scripture is it's where God called Samuel's name, and Samuel gets up and goes to Eli and said, you called me. He says, no, go lay back down. I didn't call you. And it happened 3 times, and finally Eli realizes, hey, it's the Lord calling Samuel. So he tells him, hey, go lay back down, and when you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And he does, and this is the what God tells Samuel, because he couldn't tell Eli. See, God spoke to Samuel to give a message to Eli, but Eli was the high priest. So why didn't God just speak directly to Eli? Because he had lost his vision. The fire of God had gone out, the presence of God had gone, and he had lost his vision. When Eli lost his vision spiritually, the Lord stopped speaking to him. Man, I hope I never get there. I hope I never get there. I want to go to church each and every time. I want to go to my devotions each and every day, and I want to hear what God has to speak to me about. You know, sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes when the Lord convicts you of something, it's like, oh, come on, Lord, you know, that's not that big of a deal. You know, I don't need to get that right. I can still serve and worship you, and but you know, I want God to still keep speaking to me. I want God to prick my heart when the Word of God is open from the pulpit. I want God to convict my soul when a challenging message is given about winning the lost. You see, the Christians who have lost their vision just come to church, to come to church because that's what they do on Sunday. However, they never leave the church house changed because they've lost their vision spiritually and the Lord stopped speaking to him. Now, I don't want to be satisfied with the status quo. I never want to be satisfied with just being average. The NBA finals are on. I love basketball. I played basketball in high school. I didn't get to play till I was in 10th grade. And we moved to Ohio. My dad took a church to pastor when I was in 7th grade, and we homeschooled for our 8th and 9th grade years, so we didn't have a basketball team, obviously. And my 10th grade year, my parents put us in a Christian school about 40 minutes away from where we lived, and they had a basketball team. And I was so pumped because I got an opportunity to play on an organized basketball team. But that whole summer between my 9th and 10th grade year, I went to the park every day and played basketball. I couldn't dribble with my left hand, so I taught myself to dribble with my left hand. I couldn't do a left-handed layup, so I taught myself how to do a left-handed layup because I didn't want to sit on the bench. I didn't want to just sit there and cheer on the team. I wanted to play. I didn't want to be satisfied with just being a bench warmer. And luckily, because the team wasn't that good, I got to start on the varsity team my 10th grade year. And throughout that year, I kind of wasn't great in the coach's graces, and I started on the varsity team and slowly declined throughout the other year to where I was starting on JV by the end of the year with 6-man at one point on the varsity team and then started JV and barely played varsity at the end of the year. And that didn't sit well with me. So between my 10th and 11th grade year, same thing. I went to the park every day. I spent about an hour, sometimes probably way too much time playing basketball. But spent a lot of time working on different things and changed my entire basketball shot, my entire form. And in my 10th grade year, I was one of the best players on, or excuse me, my 11th grade year, I was one of the best players on the team because I put a lot of time into it. I put a lot of effort into it. I wasn't satisfied with being just average. It's to my shame, and it would be to my shame if I'm the same in my Christian life. If I'm not the same, excuse me, in my Christian life, if I'm just satisfied with being an average Christian and not putting any effort and time and work into being above average Christian. And there's so many Christians today in our churches that are just satisfied with being a church member. And that is just not what God has for us. That's not what God has for you and me. To come to church on Sunday, and I think church attendance is extremely important. I think you should be in church every time the doors are open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival services, whatever the case may be. But if that's all we're here for is just to come to church, then we're missing it entirely. Now we're missing it entirely. And God wants to speak to us each and every day. God wants to speak to us throughout each and every day. And have you lost your vision? Has God stopped speaking to you? Man, I hope not. I hope not. Think back to the last time you were in your devotions or in a church service and you know that the Lord spoke to your heart. Has it been recent? Has it been a month or two? Has it been 6 months? If it's not recent, maybe it's because your vision is kind of lacked. You've lost your vision a little bit and you're just starting to exist as a Christian. How's your vision today? Do you have goals that you're going after spiritually? Do you set yourself spiritual goals that you try to attain? How's your vision today? The first thing that happens when you lose your vision is the fire goes out. The second thing that happens when you lose your vision is God stops speaking. Turn with me, if you will, over to Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse number 18, very familiar verse. If you know your Bible any, you know what we're going to look at. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, the Bible says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The story is told of a young preacher, a young man that got saved in a town and had a burden to start a church in his hometown. And he did. They started door knocking and soul winning and saw a small church start, and the Lord blessed, and they saw some great things happen, and the church grew, and God continued to bless even more, and man, they just saw revival come to their town, and there was a little tavern in that town, and eventually that tavern closed down because it didn't have enough customers. Because of as a result of the church. And the church bought the tavern and turned it into a church building. And there was a gentleman in the church that was good at woodworking, and he took all the bar stools and he broke them apart, and he took all the legs to the bar stools, and he put the first part of this verse, he spelled it out on the back wall. It said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Well, the church continued to thrive, and the preacher continued to see great things happen, and God's hand was on him, and eventually the preacher felt like the Lord was leading him away, leading him to another ministry or into evangelism, I don't remember exactly. And he resigned his post at that church and moved on to what the Lord had for him. And he came back many years later, was passing through, and thought, "Man, I wonder how that church is doing. And I'm going to stop by and see what's going on." And much to his dismay, he got there and found that the church doors were closed. It had been boarded up, and it was just a raggedy old building now. And he thought, "Man, what happened? God's hand was here. God was blessing. God was working. What in the world happened?" And he was walking around the church building and found a window open, and he snuck inside and was just praying and bearing his heart to God. "God, what? Why? Why did the church close? And what happened? And what was going on that caused this place that you to take your hand off and the people to stop meeting here?" And he got down to the beginning, to the front of the auditorium, and he looked up, and the W had fallen off the word "where." And instead of saying, "Where there is no vision, the people perish," it now read, "Here, there is no vision, the people perish." The third thing that happens when we lose our vision is the people perish. The people perish. Are people perishing around us today because we've lost our vision? If we've lost our vision spiritually, then we're not going to be the witness we're going to be. Are we concerned about the others around us? Are we concerned for those that are dying and going to hell? It amazes me. We're from Gaylord's, a fairly small town. It's only a town of about 3,500, and that might be being generous. The county that we live in's only got about 1,600 people in it. It's not a very big community. But it amazes me how many people that I see will go to church on Sunday, and like I said, sometimes we'll stop after Sunday night and pick something up. There's a Meijer store, a grocery store right across the street from the church, and sometimes in the afternoon, we'll stop to the store, and it amazes me how many people just don't go to church. They're just going to the store like it's another day off of work, and that's just what they do. And it breaks my heart to see in a town that small how many people just aren't saved. If they are, they're backslidden and they're away from the Lord, or whatever the case may be. But it just amazes me, and it breaks my heart. When's the last time that we've taken an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody? When's the last time you've taken the opportunity to ask your neighbors about eternity or coworkers about their eternity? Or when's the last time you've talked to an unsaved family member about eternity? Sometimes those are the hardest ones to talk to because they know us the most. They know our shortcomings and our flaws, and sometimes it's hard to talk to them, but you know, that still doesn't mean that we're not supposed to. Are we reaching others the way the Lord wants us to, or are we just satisfied with the way that we're living? Church, do you have a vision? Christian, do you have a vision personally? Don't lose that. Keep that and keep that going strong. Man, there's so many people in today's day and age that need the gospel, that need Christ. And if we lose our vision and we allow it to cause us to just be a pew sitter, if we allow us to just be a Christian that just comes to church because, hey, it's Sunday and that's what we do. Listen, I can't say that my entire life I've enjoyed going to church every Sunday of every week, okay? As a kid, it was like, "Man, we gotta go to church again? Didn't we just go last week? Can't we just skip one week?" But that wouldn't have gone over well if my dad had skipped and he was the preacher. But there was times I wish I could say to you that I was plugged into every service, but I can't say that. And I understand sometimes, we have a hard time or we've had a rough day at work or a rough week and it's hard to pay attention. And I understand that life happens. I understand that. But I'm just speaking collectively that, hey, we need to keep the vision strong. We need to keep the vision to reach others so that the fire of God keeps burning in our heart, that God can keep speaking to us, and that people around us aren't going to perish. How's your vision tonight? I don't know hardly any of you. I don't hardly know any of your names. If you told it to me, I apologize. I probably already forgot. But I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you work. I don't know your background. I don't know where you're at spiritually or your personal testimony. I don't know any of that. So I can stand up here and say that, hey, look, I don't have anybody in mind or anything in mind when I'm preaching this message. But is it you tonight that's lost your vision? Is it you tonight that's had the fire go out in your heart that, man, hey, you were on fire for God at one point. You were plugged in and you were going charging hell with a wet dish rag. But has that left? Has the fire gone out? Can the Lord still speak to us? Or is it just, hey, I come to church, see my friends, and go home? Are we concerned about where our fellow man will spend eternity, or are the people going to perish because we've lost our vision? Where's your vision tonight? Is it strong? Is it wavering? Or is it just gone? Where's your vision tonight? Let's pray, and I'll turn it over to Pastor Carpenter. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you please use the message to speak to hearts. And God, I pray you please just help me to take this to my life and apply it personally. And that it won't be just something that I preach from a pulpit, but something that I'll live in my life. And I pray that's true for each and every person in here tonight, God, that we'll keep our vision strong for you, and that we'll have goals that we go after spiritually, something that we strive for, to serve you more and to serve you better. God, I pray you please just speak to hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If Faith plays on the piano. When you lose your vision, the fire goes out. I don't want the fire to go out, because then God stops speaking. God stops prompting your heart. I don't want God to stop prompting my heart. And ultimately, the saddest thing is people perish. And you think about everybody that we know, just in our congregation, family members, neighbors, friends. They're going to die, and some are going to split hell wide open. That's what's going to happen. We have to have a vision, and we have to reach people with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go a step further. Next Saturday, we have an evangelism blitz here at the church. Brother Case put a sign-up sheet out there for our blitz as we go door knocking and door hangers hanging out and witnessing to people. You ought to sign up. You ought to go. You ought to be here at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning, because people are perishing. God has chosen to use us, Christian people, to reach the lost. That's what he's done. So I want to take you to challenge seriously tonight. If you've lost your vision, confess it to God and ask God to give it back. If you've lost your fire, the fire's gone out, ask God to give you a fresh filling with the Spirit of God, new power. And then I'll see you Saturday morning at 10 o'clock so we can go on out. Now, if that's you, you spend a little time talking to the Lord about that here tonight. Thank you, Brother Ewing. We appreciate your message tonight. Now, if you would come, ushers.